everybody. Welcome to Radio Labyrinth. This is Season 6, Episode 11, and we have a guest with us tonight. We have a famous guest with us tonight, and I'm going to let him into the room right now before I introduce him to the crowd. Let's make sure that he's there, because we're technically inept. At least I am at most things. Today, we welcome an actor, director, writer, and voice artist from arguably one of the most famous and prolific acting families of all time. He and is almost as famous as him brothers have been in literally hundreds of our favorite television shows and movies. Let's give a huge Radio Labyrinth welcome to Mr. Alec Baldwin. Alec Baldwin, welcome to the
Hey, yay.
No, I'm kidding.
It's Joel Barrymore.
Yes. It's a Joel Murray. Welcome to the show, and thank you for taking the time to be with us, sir.
Hey, great to be here. I'm not certain where I am, but I'm very happy to be here.
Your face is in Atlanta.
Atlanta. Oh, yeah.
Where you recently were. Jeff reached out. You were in town filming Heels for Stars. Well, welcome. I'm out of things. I don't know what to say now.
Well, I'm kind of happy to be back in Los Angeles. I didn't realize how cold the South can be. I thought Georgia was a warm place, but it gets pretty chilly down there. But I'm back in L.A. We've been doing this Heels show, and it's been a riot. But we go down for like 3 weeks, stay for 3 weeks, and then come back. And so like March 1st, I'll go back for my third 3 weeks. It's they're giving it to me in separate doses.
Where do they put you when you stay here? Do you stay in a hotel or do you rent a house?
We stay in a hotel, and it's kind of funny that a nice hotel right by the Fox Theater there. But when my wife is on the show and plays my wife, and when we got there, they had hotel reservations for both of us. So we have suites across the hall from each other. And it's been romantic. And when we get tired of each other, we go back to our own suite and watch our own shows.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's the best of all.
Do you enjoy the more relaxed precautions in Atlanta versus L.A.?
There's some things, yeah. I like being able to go into a place and get something to eat. There's other ends of the spectrum. You know, I don't necessarily want to sit next to somebody at a bar who's been drinking at, you know, noon already. But that's pretty much anywhere. It's interesting to see that the world can exist and things can go on, which they don't do it as much here in L.A. You know, we have outdoor dining now. It's very exciting.
Well, one of my coworkers at the radio station where I work, he's young, he's 30, and he all weekend long on Instagram, all Sunday, he's at this oyster festival, and he's posting pictures of buckets of oysters, and everybody's drinking beer, and of course, no masks, and I'm like, I'm not going to that. I'm old. I'm not doing anything like that. We're not close enough to that yet.
Now, what town is that?
Right here in Atlanta.
He was at the Oyster Festival in Atlanta. All right.
Yeah, they had it on Sunday. I mean, everybody was socially distanced, but like you said, you get drinking and you eat a lot of oysters and things are bound to happen.
Yeah.
Only one of us on the show has been vaccinated, so.
Yeah, I'm a few weeks out.
Is this a guessing game? Do I have to guess with one of you? I think it's been.
It's me, yeah. I work in healthcare, so I got the healthcare pass or whatever, but yeah, so I feel 95% safe everywhere I go now.
That's great. Congratulations.
How is it filming during the pandemic? I mean, how are you taking that?
Well, it's nice to be getting paid for something, so that's cool. But they're doing a really good job. And, you know, you do sometimes feel like you're a guinea pig in the fact that, well, it's not working today, but they test us pretty much every day. And because there's these big wrestling scenes, there's sometimes 200 extras that they have to test every day. And if you want to be one of those extras, that's a regular kind of thing, you've got to say, I'll be there every day and I'll go get tested. So that's kind of cool. But and then they have zones kind of like to be near the actors, you have to be a zone A person. So no Zone B people, you know, it's weird segregation that's back. It's everything's old is new again. But they're reinventing the wheel. And fortunately, Stars and Lionsgate are throwing the money at it to make sure that it gets done right.
Yeah, that's awesome. Can you tell us anything about the show? Have they decided? I see you're in. Are you in every episode?
Oh, well, you looked on IMDb for
yeah.
me. That's,
I did.
It's not true. Okay. I'm in 5 of 8, I think.
Okay.
And so is my wife, which is exciting. So there's 10 checks. I'm thinking.
I like that kind of thinking.
The scripts are really good. Mike O'Malley, who's an old friend of mine, who's, you know, Yes, Dear and Glee and back to the Agra Crag, back in his game show world. See, he's done everything, but he's a very prolific writer, and he's rewriting all the scripts by himself, and they're really good. I think America's going to dig it because it's got wrestling, it's got violence, it's got sex, it's got sibling rivalry, it's got Southern draws and pretty girls and trucks. It's everything you want, really, pretty much.
David Allen Coe song. I said it's a David Allen Coe song.
Yeah.
They talked about when the show's going to premiere?
I heard somebody said late April at one point, but we're still making them, so I don't know. I'm not – that's not my ballywick. It's not my place to say. But sooner than later at this point.
You're in the mecca of Southern wrestling, NWA, which became WCW. Are any of those characters or those tertiary people, are they floating in and out? Are they hanging around? Are they advising, anything like that?
I'm not sure. I mean, and these guys work out all the time, and they work on their wrestling all the time. And I don't know who their instructors are. We did a scene the other day that CM Punk was one of the wrestlers, but he's more of a mixed martial arts guy, right?
Yeah, but he's been in the WWE for a while. I don't follow it anymore, but I was, you know, back in the 80s and 90s, I was a complete geek about it, you know.
I was a big wrestling fan back in Chicago, and we used to go, and my favorite weird thing about it was when a match would start and the lowest undercard would start, everybody in the first like 15 rows would leave and go out and buy tickets for the next match. the really lame undercard that would start things off had no fans nearby.
And, right.
But then people get their tickets for the next one and they come back in. Let me silence that maybe. Thought I turned that off. Anyway, but I don't know about other people. There's interesting wrestlers like James Harrison, who was a Super Bowl linebacker for both Pittsburgh and the Patriots, is one of the wrestlers. And he was famous for being the strongest man in the NFL at one point. And he is just built like a house. And but he can do flips and shit. And I mean, they're going off the top turnbuckle, and they're doing all kinds of super fly kind of moves. And, to be first row, because we're sponsors of the show, it's really pretty good.
Super. Did you watch any of that Dark Side of the Ring series?
No. No, it sounds dark.
I was
dark.
Just wondering if that was any sort of inspiration for the show, like Jim Cornette and all those guys from back in the day, and Mouth of the South and all the...
Mouth of the... I loved Jimmy and Hart. They're entertaining. But
I'll have to look for that, because I have the time.
you said Superfly, and you remember Jimmy Superfly Snuka.
Yeah.
He was huge, and I was a manager at a Bob Evans restaurant in Pennsylvania one day. It was in Carlisle by the Turnpike. And so people would come in, famous once in a while. And he came in and sat at the bar, Jimmy Snuka, and he just chain smoked. He smoked while he ate. And I was like, it's Jimmy Snuka sitting here chain smoking. So he goes, wrestles his match. The next day he's got a cut on his face. I go, how did you do? And he goes, oh, they beat me pretty bad, brother. Can I get some more coffee?
I had the ability on Mad Men to smoke and eat in scenes, and they enjoyed that. We got to meet George the Animal Steele years ago.
Oh, wow.
And, he had done Ed Wood with my brother Billy. And so we have a Caddyshack golf tournament down in St. Augustine every year. And Billy invited George the Animal Steele to come. And when he got there, my nieces and nephews just went apeshit over him because – you're George Hamilton's here. And she had a crowd of my nieces and nephews who were all like 20 at that point, 21, 22, maybe drinking legally or illegally, I don't know. But they made such a big deal over him. He was so excited and had so much fun hanging out with the Murray spawn. But what a super nice guy. Turns out not an animal at all.
I met an Autorama. When I was a little kid, I'm from Detroit, and you know he's a Detroiter, so he was a big deal.
He's all you'd expect. He's really cool and a beautiful wife who was always at his side. Anyway, the animal.
And you guys have that restaurant down there too, and there's one in Chicago now too, right? The Murray Brothers Caddyshack restaurant.
Yeah, there's one in Rosemont, right by the airport, and it's really good if you've got a flight. And you got to like drop off a rental car. You just drop it off, take a shuttle to the hotel that the restaurant's in, which I'm blanking on the name. So I'll go like 4 hours early for my flight, and I'll hang out at the Caddyshack for a couple hours, eating and drinking for free before I go.
Can't beat that.
Yeah, you can't beat that.
Well, what's your favorite thing to eat at the Caddyshack?
They do some good stuff. They have they've got really good ribs. They've got meat eater stuff. They're Chicago dog, which I'm a huge fan of, and Italian beef. But like they make these Brussels sprouts that are really spicy that are fantastic. They do a lot of stuff. It's kind of comforting food. Growing up, my brother Andy was always a cook, and he runs the restaurant. And he faked his ID when he was like 14 to be a busboy, and then ended up being a cook after that. But he was always cooking. And one of my favorite things was to, you know, fall asleep on the couch on purpose on a Saturday night and wait for him to come in about 2:30, 3 in the morning, and then get up and chat with him and talk him into maybe making something. And he would make, you know, an omelet or something at 3 in the morning. And the moment he would take the plate out of the cabinet and the plate makes that noise of scraping on another plate, my mother would go, "Boys?" She would come out, and the three of us, and we would make three plates. You knew she was coming, but she'd come out, and we would have the best conversations at like 3 in the morning, two of us drunk and one of us woken up. And one of my favorite things in the world. Anyway, but he's been cooking forever.
You grew up in Chicago. I said it like I'm from there in a terrible way. You're from Chicago. You a Bears fan, right? I'm assuming.
Exclusively.
Good news today. Carson Wentz.
Didn't go to the Bears?
He did.
That's not.
No. I'm like, why? Why Carson Wentz?
We already have Foles. Why do we, you know? Did that really happen? I was on the golf course. I don't know.
Yes, they sent Foles is going back to the Eagles
They sold the house for Foles a year ago. It's just people in charge of the Chicago Bears are not interested in football. It's really a shame. I mean, Mrs. McCaskey, I don't know if she's 91 or what. She's old. She's not interested in football. The Pace, the general manager, apparently doesn't know anything about football. It's really tough, and it is the most popular game in Chicago. I mean, you got Cubs fans, Bears fans. I mean, Cubs fans, Sox fans, but everybody's a Bears fan, and we suffer through this all day. You want to get that?
Go ahead, Jeff.
I was going to say, speaking of Chicago, it's Chris Farley's birthday today.
No.
And we're glad to have you on to maybe celebrate that a little. And I know you – didn't you share an apartment with him or shared a building with him when he was working at Tekken City?
When the phone rings, both Huskies start hollering. Chris and I had the only two apartments above the Mexican restaurant across the street from the Second City.
They just got the news about Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
But So Farley was like kind of my yellow lab for 3 years when we were in the Second City together. Actually, he got the apartment before he got hired at the Second City. And Joyce Sloan, who was kind of the matriarch of the Second City, set him up and put him next to me a little bit on purpose, I think. So I would watch up over him. And it was a crazy time. I literally would make him sit in the same spot every time he entered my apartment. And there was a visible stain after a short while on the carpet. I thought, like, how can he damage a wicker chair? But he did. He was Pigpen. He was amazing. But just one of the funniest people you ever met. A sweetheart, but like a bad yellow lab, you know. Oh, I'm sorry I did that, Joel. Oh, you know. He was just, I didn't mean to pee on your rug. But anyway, but it was an adventure. He would literally break down the lower door once a month, just break down the door because he forgot his key. Like, Chris, you could have called me. I mean, oh, God, I should have thought of that. Damn it, Chris. But yeah.
Joel, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well,
I was just going to say that we most of us grew up in the 80s. We're teenagers in the 80s, you know, and, you know, my mother, you know, call it bad parenthood or whatever, but she would let me stay up in the 70s and watch Saturday Night Live because she wanted to watch it. So, you know, really grew up with, you know, your brothers and then, you know, you come along right in the heart of Gen X being 12, 13 years old, 14 years old with One Crazy Summer. And we wanted to ask, is that where you met Bobcat, and have you guys stayed close since you've been in a number of his films since then?
I met Bobcat the first day, whatever. It was the first thing I ever auditioned for in Chicago. I was studying improv with Del Close, and he got me an agent, the Getty's agency in Chicago, which was, you know, there weren't a whole lot of them. And I went on the first audition for him, and they're like, you've got a callback on this thing you went on. And I'm like, well, that's great. Where's that? It's in Hyannis. Where the fuck's that? Near Berwyn? You know, I thought it was a Chicago suburb. So they flew me to Hyannis, and I read against Jeremy Piven to play Cusack's best friend. And Piven was Cusack's best friend. I'm like, why am I even doing this? But I got the part, and they said, and you're going to stay now. And like, I brought an overnight bag. I got, you know, I got one pair of underwear. I'm here for 2 months. And so I stole all my clothes while I was there. But the first person I met when I got to the hotel was Bobcat. And he was making like 4-foot Estes rockets. And he was shooting them down this long hallway of the hotel out the open door. And I'm like, I'm going to hang with you, buddy. He's always been a really good time. And one of the first things we did was, you got to meet Cusack. So we went to Cusack's room, and Cusack had like a loft, and he had a rental Jeep, and we just had regular hotel rooms. And we walk in, one of the first things Bobcat does, there's an American Express card on the counter, and he just writes down the numbers, and he hands them to me. I'm like, what? Later. And so we proceeded to order stuff for Cusack all shoot long. Any K-Tel record or anything we saw on TV, we would order it and have it sent to Cusack's hotel room, and we'd get done shooting for the day. And Cusack's like, oh, I guess everybody didn't get a package today, did they? No, we didn't. So Bob and I kind of had the same kind of sick humor bond right away. But he's a sweet man. He just moved back to Illinois, in a part of Illinois where I like, really, in January you're moving there?
Well, he's from Syracuse, close enough, right?
Yeah, he's from Syracuse, so he's seen some bad weather, but
yeah.
I don't know, after 20-30 years in LA to move to Wheaton, around Wheaton, I don't know.
Is that a small town, or is it just really cold? And
it's really cold where the wind gets a 600-mile running start, and it's not necessarily near Chicago. It's, you know, a good 50 minutes out on a good day. So,
and it's just that's a couple hours like from where I grew up. And I know we're getting, according to my mother and my sisters, we're getting 9 inches of snow tomorrow.
Yeah.
Snow emergency, which, you know, in Detroit, Chicago, that's a big deal if it's a snow emergency.
That's all they're talking about. My brother Johnny, who's good for the weather, for a good 10 minutes of a phone call, I had to cut him off. I'm like, I got to get on the Zoom thing. Can you just give me the 7-minute weather? No? Okay, I'll call you back. But, yeah, it's impending. It's dangerous out there.
Speaking of Johnny, did you guys had to audition to play Bill's brothers in Scrooged?
It's funny. I auditioned, and I didn't get anything. And Johnny got woken up in the middle of the night, and Bill had another brother that was cast in the movie that he didn't appreciate. And he fired him at like 1 a.m. and called up Johnny. And Johnny to this day still talks about, so he wakes me up and I've got to go across town to be in this movie at 3 a.m. But Johnny was a replacement, so he didn't audition. He was a demand by Billy, and I somehow was a mercy fuck, I guess. But my brother Brian was in it, and all four of us worked on Leap Day on a February 29th, and I guess that was 87? I don't know, somewhere around there. So, yeah, freakish thing to have all four Murray actor brothers working at the same time.
You did a little Johnny impression there. Do you do any Brian Doyle impersonation?
Well, Brian just got the COVID shot. I don't know if you're familiar, but he's out in Kansas City, and I got a call from a friend that they were giving it out at a mega church. So I went, I told them I was a Methodist, and they stepped right in. They gave me one.
That's excellent. That's great. That's
perfect.
I did a cartoon years ago called Timo Supremo, and Brian was the chief on it every week, and I was a arch villain, Inflato, who talked by Jackie Gleason. But the one day they're like, "Yeah, Brian went back to Kansas, and we didn't get this line. Could you ever?" Right away, chief. Okay, we're good. Yeah, no, we got that. We got that. But like, without even slating it, I got the take, so Brian didn't have to fly back. I didn't get paid for it, but anyway.
And he was on one of our favorite shows, and you were as well, the Lodge 49.
We loved that.
Good.
It was great.
We loved it.
Enough of it.
It just made you feel good watching it.
Yeah. You liked the people. You thought the people were nice. And I don't know. I just, it's like a show like that will come on that you don't know anything about. You don't know what to expect. You love it. And then it's gone. And it's like, oh.
When the guy that played Blaze was Dave Pasquazi, who was my college roommate in Rome, Italy, and my comedy partner at Second City when we were there. One of my best friends ever. So I loved it for that. And then Peter Rocco, one of the writer producers, used to write Baby Blues, a cartoon I was on with Mike O'Malley. So it all comes full circle. Right. You know, you got to be nice to the people on the way up because they might employ you later.
Yes.
And that was shot here in Atlanta. And I think Bob brought you here for one of his episodes of Misfits and Monsters, I think.
Yeah.
Now you're back in town shooting Heels. So
I like coming to Atlanta. Yeah. And Georgia, they take their tax out right away. So they know what they're doing. Yeah. But there was a day I was with Toby Huss, who was on Halt and Catch Fire. Pasquazi was on Lodge 49 and Bobcat and I. And I was, we were on Misfits and Monsters. But it was so funny that the four of us who used to, you know, see each other in L.A. Are having lunch at the same place in Atlanta.
Where do you like to eat here? Does any place come to mind that you've been to more than once that you like?
Well, I'm open to suggestions. We've been to the Ponce Market more than a few times, but and we did go to Mary Mac's Tea Room. Mm-hmm. And had some soul food one time. That was pretty cool. There's an Italian place across from the hotel called Baronda, which means mayhem in Italian. That's okay. And they have both indoor and outdoor dining, if you want to, depending on how safe you want to be.
Indoor.
The Henry's, which is kind of outdoor. There's a, we went to a really good Thai place and ate on the porch right in that same Midtown area. Forgot the name of that, but it's Thai on that first street off of Peachtree.
Oh God, what is that? Non?
It might have been Non. Yeah.
For a while, when you work in radio, you go through patches where you have a job and then you don't. And right. I was in one of those patches where I was part-time and I was working at a barbershop in this neighborhood called Cabbage Town. And you walk into Cabbage Town and it's like an old mill town where they preserved all the homes and now young people live there. But Toby used to come into that barbershop. And I'm going to recommend down the street from the barbershop is a place called Little's. And it's a little market that's been there for over 100 years. It's just a Little's. But they have the best burgers in that area. They're greasy and they have, they're delicious. And the fries are hand cut. Just don't look at the kitchen. Go in, order the food. Don't look at the cooks. Just take what they give you. It's delicious.
Cabbage Town. Ask for it by name.
Yeah, ask for Cabbage Town by name. He was down.
I'll throw in the Fat Matt's Rib Shack as a recommendation.
Yeah. Fat Matt's is good. But you don't get that greasy, poor, small town feel.
Where's Fat Matt's? I feel like I saw that.
Yeah, you drive right past it. It's what's off Piedmont?
Yeah.
Right across the street from Mike's Killer Grindhouse Burgers, which is also a really good place.
Yeah, so we just keep writing this down. You're going to be fat. Yeah.
It's right next to the Botanical Garden. If anybody trying to get you there, so yeah.
Yeah. We walked in the Botanical Gardens a couple of times, and we went beyond it into that area. There's antique stores out there my wife wanted to go to, so we decided to walk 4 miles to go to antique store. But there's some kind of weird sex shop superstore on the right before you get to the antique mart.
What's that called, Jeff?
Is that Insurrection, or is that Starship?
Yeah. You know, Tokyo Valentine.
Yeah,
I couldn't coerce her into going in. I don't know what goes on in there, but apparently they have rooms and showers, which she was like, "Whoa,
wow,
yeah, I don't know."
Gotta get back to work.
For nothing.
Not in Kansas anymore, and we're supposed to be quarantining. So anyway,
yeah, I don't understand. Strip clubs in Atlanta are open. How do you quarantine and stay 6 feet away when you're getting a lap dance? I don't know.
I'm not sure.
It's really hot when they take their masks off, though.
Ooh. full facial nudity. Yeah. Cool.
You don't have to have panties, but you have to wear a mask. That's.
I just wanted to, before we let you go, I got.
You got some from the bargain bin?
God Bless America here. It sounds blurred out a little, but signed by Bob.
Oh, yeah.
And you drew a little mustache on your face, it looks like.
Drew a little mustache on you.
It's a prank.
I really liked that. I thought it was great.
Jeff, why don't you meet up at the porn store and get Joel to sign it?
Yeah, we'll get you to sign it when you come back to town.
Mm-hmm.
But
I could do that. That was fun working on that.
It's become a documentary now instead of a feature film.
Before you go, you have to tell us about Freddie on Mad Men. I'm a huge Mad Men fan. Loved you on Mad Men. You were so great on this show.
Steph wanted to play her zipper for your introduction.
I actually played the zipper. And if you listen really closely, the notes are changing. And we're getting set to do the scene and the sound guy comes over and goes, yeah, let's just get some wild zipper in the stairwell. And I go, yeah, if I had a nickel for every time somebody told me that. But I went in, and if you pulled the top of your zipper tight, it would make a higher note. And if you loosened it, so you pull your pants up, and it would be a higher note. But so I'm playing it, and the guy goes, you're fucking playing the song. Well, yeah, I'm an actor, man. And he's like, well, hold on, let me. He said, I was just getting some wild tone here. But so if you listen to the scene, I'm actually playing the song. It's not the, anyway. So any Mad Men was just the best workplace ever. People would get done with work and say I had a scene with John Slattery at 9 a.m. We'd get done at noon and Slattery would say, well, could I get you a glass of wine or something before you go? Okay. So the next thing you know, you're having a glass of wine with Slattery, and the guy that went in at 11 for his scene comes out, and oh, you guys are having some wine. Oh, you should try this. I got this, you know, whatever, these beers, you know, they're from Utah or whatever. They're from Utah, Oregon, whatever. Hey, do you want to play a quick game of Risk? The board game? The, like, three-hour board game? Yeah, we're gonna play Risk. But they had an outdoor patio between all the, like, Leeds trailers, and they had this, like, porch out there. But they would hang around when they got done with work for like 6-7 hours, just hanging out with each other, because everybody was that cool. It was just such a nice place to be. And as the seasons progressed and they threw more money at it, they just spent it all on food. And like every day for lunch was like steaks and lobster, and it just kept getting, so sushi chefs would come in, and it's like, wait, that's Nobu. That's, you can't have a guy like that here. No, he's here because we got a lot of money in the budget for food. But it was a great experience in the fact that, like, Ham and, I mean, a couple of them had just full-on, Elizabeth Moss, full-on photographic memories. So you had to really show up with your A-game. You had to know your shit and have it down, because they would look at a script for 1 second and they knew it. And so everybody was always ready to go, memorized, and it would go like that so we could get to drinking out on the porch. And the crew was probably the best crew I've ever worked with. And the whole set was like Lego. But, I mean, everything could be taken apart. So if you're shooting this way and we're going to come around now, rather than taking 45 minutes, these guys would take screw guns, take this wall off, they would turn the camera on, put this wall on, and all of a sudden, in like 11 minutes, you'd be able to shoot the other direction, wow, and it'd be lit already. And never seen stuff like that before. So when you were on a roll, you could continue on a roll. But and the words were really, really good. And when the words are that good, it makes everybody look really solid. Matt Weiner has, you know, all respect, that guy. He covered every detail of the show, and he was a perfectionist, and it showed.
Yeah, Mad Men and The Sopranos are the two big prestige television shows to come out sort of in the same era, you know, a couple of years apart. But both of those shows are really, to me, you know, everything that came after them, there's been really good stuff. But you can go back. The Sopranos is excellent from start to finish if you're a fan. And Mad Men, the same. You know, it's just great writing, great acting, good directing, everything just works.
Well, Matt Weiner worked on The Sopranos too, and he worked under Chase, and supposedly, not to out anybody, the passing out and peeing your pants standing up, the functional alcoholic, was Matt's boss on The Sopranos. So, uh-huh. That's where that came from, that he just mid-conversation all of a sudden just pissed himself and then passed out.
Wow. What do you,
that happens, I don't know.
What do you get recognized for the most? Is it Mad Men or Shameless or
I've always said it always depends on what I'm doing with my hair. my hair is long, I still get recognized for One Crazy Summer for some reason. If it's slick back, you're like, yeah, Freddie Rumsey. But I don't get recognized that much, and I love that about my career. People be like, you look really familiar. Did we get really drunk in Arizona one time? I'm like, I think we might have. I don't know. So I don't, you know, I don't have that career like my brother Bill, where, you know, he goes someplace, he's got to leave in 5 minutes. I can hang out, and I don't have that recognition problem.
I for sure thought you'd be in prison by now.
Right? Okay.
I think if I ran into Brian Doyle, I would probably annoy the hell out of him, because he's one of my favorite newscasters from SNL Weekend Update.
Well, there you go. He was the second, I guess. Third? No, yeah. Billy was second.
Bill replaced Aykroyd.
Jebby.
Chevy.
Oh, did Aykroyd replace him?
I don't know if Aykroyd.
Yeah, then Aykroyd and Jane Curtin.
Yeah, and you ignorant slut.
Yeah. Okay. And then, yeah, in the '80s, it was hit or miss, but Brian Doyle was funny as hell. I loved him doing it. And then that guy that married Julia Louis-Dreyfus, he was kind of funny too. But he, but he went into producing and stuff, I guess, after that.
Yeah, his wife was a billionaire, so he was kind of okay.
Yeah, he's fine.
I just want to know what it was like at your house when you guys were kids. Were your parents like really funny? I mean, were you guys just always?
My grandfather was funny. My mother was funny in like an Edith Bunker kind of way. She didn't know if she was trying to be funny or if she was just funny. And then my dad was kind of funny. And as we always say, he was a very slow eater. He was a diabetic. And we always ate dinner together. And the whole second half of the meal was trying to entertain dad and try to literally get him to cough up food or pass milk through his mouth. And so 9-11 of us would be sitting at the table trying to entertain dad every night. And you learned a bit about timing, and you know, you didn't want to be too frequent or you'd be shut out. And it was a good place to grow up.
And did you turn down a role in Caddyshack? Is that true?
My brother Brian took me out one night, and he said they're not finding anybody for this spoiled rich kid. And, you know,
Spalding? It was Spalding?
Yeah. And he said, you know, every kid you caddied for, a rich kid who wants everything and, you know, can't golf with a shit. And I'm captain of the football team, man. I'm going to play college ball. I'm not some goofball actor like you clowns. look at that right there.
So
I could have possibly been Spalding, but I showed no interest.
Wow.
Now, I feel like Dustin hasn't had a chance to ask only one question. I'll let you ask one. Go ahead, Dustin. I feel like you're just, I don't want you to be mad.
I'm watching, enjoying. Listen, now you have done some.
Did you make all that stuff behind you?
It's all mine.
You been in all those films?
Everyone. Yeah, a bit part. Yeah, I'm an extra in each one. Let's see. Now, you were talking about your voice work earlier. What got you into voice acting to begin with? What was your foray into that?
Well, when you were in the Second City in Chicago, you were kind of local celebrities, and you used to get a lot of kind of commercial auditions, voiceover stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was the voice of Chester the Cheetah for Cheetos for like 11 years when he first came out, and he was a rhyming kitty in the heart of Hip City. Yeah. And it was the best. I mean, it probably bought my first house in LA, but that kind of got me into some voice work, and people had heard that and like, well, no, we want that guy. But my favorite story about that was I was going to the audition, and it got down to a couple of us, and it was Dan Castellaneta and I, and he's the voice of Homer Simpson. And I had my mom's car, Chrysler LeBaron, very nice vehicle, brand new at the time.
30.
It got down to the two of us, and they said, all right, well, we'll let you know, kind of thing. And I went in, read one more time, and they're like, all right, we'll see you tomorrow. And so I went out, and I'm like, hey, Dan, you want a ride? I got a car. And he's like, well, yeah, it's going to be great. I'm like, I got a car, because I never had a car. And so I'm driving him home, and I'm like, I kind of think they told me I got it. And he goes, well, I'm going to go to L.A. I'm going to do this thing on the Tracy Ullman show. And so I was going to go out there anyway, so. Well, congrats, I guess. The thing on the Tracy Ullman show is still running.
Right. Yeah.
I think he won the lotto on that one.
And I love it. The first incarnation was a kind of a Walter Matthau voice, which developed into Homer eventually, how we know him today. But at first, he was so like, rah, rah, rah.
Yeah. Yeah. And kind of rough sketch. Yeah. You know, uh-huh. It was really basic.
But if you didn't have Fox,
I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, if you didn't have Fox, like our town, we didn't have Fox, and you had to find people who would record it and get married with children, because all this subversive television was too dirty for a little Pennsylvania town that we grew up in. God bless you.
What town was this?
Mansfield, Pennsylvania, which have you ever heard of Elmira, New York?
Yeah.
south of
Cleveland. It's north of Williamsport. It's about a half hour north of Williamsport, where your brother owned the, or partially owned the Bills.
Oh, he owned that team?
Yeah, he was a partial owner for the baseball team there, the Triple A team.
Hmm.
He's done well with the minor league baseball.
Yeah.
Was it the St. Paul Saints just got bought by one of the major league teams? And hey, Bill made more money today.
Joel, man, I appreciate you taking the time to speak with us, you know, all the way here in Atlanta. And we hope that when you come back to town that you try some of those restaurants that we recommended. And again, can't appreciate it more than
Matt's. Pretty I've accurate. Been doing Noom. I'm down like 20 pounds. I'm willing to get back to the cheeseburgers.
You have to. Celebrate Carson Wentz tonight. Hey, look, I'll show you my hat.
Get the dogs howling. Well, I was rooting for the Bills. I wanted the Bills in the Super Bowl. I was rooting for them big time. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and then we all, my coworker and I, we're both Bills fans, and we ended up rooting for Tom Brady. We both agreed that the first time in our lives ever we celebrated Gronk catching a pass in the end zone.
It was it's a weird time we live in, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And Brady can win a couple more if he doesn't go anywhere, because all he does is drink water and stretch.
Jeff? There's other things I wish for.
Well, stay safe out there in L.A. I know things are rough.
Yeah. All right.
I look forward to coming back and turn up the temperature by March 1st, okay?
Oh, it'll be 90 by then.
Yeah.
Get the cold. Well, I was there years ago doing Killing Reagan, and it was 95 every day. So I don't need that either.
I remember that.
Yeah, that was fun. Quite a lot of golf.
Everybody watch Heels. We'll let everybody know when it comes on, and best of luck to everything. And again, we can't thank you enough. Appreciate it,
John. All right. Good luck getting out of the labyrinth, everybody.
Well.
Thanks, man.
Bye.
All right. Now I'm going to thank our sponsors. We have two sponsors. They've been with us for a long time, and they stuck with us throughout the first year of the COVID pandemic. We don't know how long it's going to last this year. So let's just say the first year, and we hope that it won't go on much longer than that. But anyhow, I want to thank Mike Hall and Atlanta Pizza and Euro. Serving Conyers in the East Metro Atlanta area since 1983. Mike Hall and his staff truly appreciate your business and thank you for your continued support during the year that never happened, or we wish never happened. When's the last time you guys were out there?
Remember when we all went out there when they opened? Yeah.
Well, I've been out since then a couple times. Mm-hmm. But didn't we recently have a listener show up there?
Yeah, Tim. Tim went out there.
Yeah, Tim Allen, he goes out there weekly.
Oh,
okay. I think he eats lunch a couple of times a week out there. He's a great radio.
If you go out there, and I notice that some people do this, if you go to Atlanta Pizza and Euro, post on our social media, either in the Radio Shack or on our Facebook page. Let us know that you were there, and we'll give you a shout out for in both of our sponsors.
Get their Greek salad. They make their own dressing, and it is out of this world.
And cannoli. Get the cannoli.
Get the cannoli, yeah.
But leave the gun at home. Atlanta Pizza and Euro is open for dine-in services, or if you prefer, you can give them a call and place your own takeout order. You can also order online for pickup or delivery through their website at atlantapizzaeuro.com. And I've made a decision when it comes to this kind of thing. If I'm going to order something and the restaurant doesn't deliver, I'm going to go pick it up, because I'm sick of Uber and their Uber Eats or any of those things. They take their middleman cut, then you got to tip the driver, which I don't mind doing that at all, but a lot of times they screw your order up and then you're left with nothing. And plus, restaurants kind of get fucked by those apps. So if you can do whatever you can to just go pick it up, that's what I'm gonna do. Visit them on Facebook or leave them a positive review on Google, as it helps their business continue to grow. And our other sponsor, I would be remiss to leave him out, and that would be Brett Perkins and his business, LDI Repro Printing of Athens, Georgia. They have all your construction printing needs, commercial or residential, in Athens since 2000. Let me scroll this up so I don't say it wrong. 2005. I didn't want to give them two extra years. With fast turnaround and affordable prices, if you're in the market for something that he has to offer you, call 706-316-9366 or email at athens@ldiline.com.
And I know Brett personally. He's a hell of a guy. And he has great taste in movies and comedy. And yeah, you should totally do business with him if you're building some shit.
Hell yeah. Call, goddammit.
He should come on the show sometime. Tell
us about he should.
Backpacks and shit and tell us about his business.
Yeah. All right, we'll do that. Hey, if you're out there and you'd like to be a sponsor of Radio Labyrinth, just hit me up. We'll figure it out. All right? Wow, that was awesome.
It was awesome. Good. He's a great guy.
Yeah, he was. And, you know, good job, Jeff, getting that guest, those guests.
I think I'm working on people.
You know, I just found out Amos from The Expanse is from Georgia, and I think he's from the Atlanta area. We should try to get him, and he just started a podcast.
Oh, really?
Well, they do that after show, I guess, but I've never watched that. I just noticed that.
I haven't watched it either. You burned through a lot of The Expanse, though.
I'm almost done. That show, that to me is... Well, you're going to disagree with me, but I think it's a close second to Battlestar Galactica being as far as sci-fi series go. I think it's great. I think you can tell that it borrows a lot from that. Certainly,
I think it's better than Battlestar Galactica.
I kind of got to agree with you, but I hate, it's kind of sacrilegious because I love BSG so much. But what'd you guys think? Great interview. Did you like him?
Oh, he's great. Oh my God. We, you know, could have spent another hour talking to him. You know, he's got 1,000,000,000 stories.
We could have. I always feel weird like we're talking to a celebrity who probably wouldn't mind going on, but I'm like, oh, he doesn't know us and we're asking too many questions. I mean, that's just how my neurotic mind works.
Well, always leave him one more, Tim. You always leave him one more.
I kept thinking he's got to be getting close to dinner time out there in LA. We should let him go.
I loved it when the dogs barked. I'm going to leave that in. I'm not cutting.
Yeah.
Those huskies.
Yeah. Oh, also, we got to talk to our Patreon member our radio Patreon member who is going to be on Forged in Fire coming up in March. We can't forget to bring that up.
Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait to hear all about the behind the scenes. And yeah,
we got to wait till that episode airs, right? And then we can have
Mark. And he'll come on after the episode. But do you guys want to do our what we watched and staff picks? And
bust those out real quick.
Let's wrap her up.
Yeah, we can get him through.
All right, I'll go first. And no spoilers on WandaVision because I haven't been able to get to it yet. But I actually expanded my TV watching with The Expanse. I am on episode 6, season 5. I'm almost done. I know what happens at the end to one character, and that bums me out because he's one of my favorites. But nothing can be done about that. Wasted 4 hours of our lives watching Crime Scene, The Vanishing at the Cecil Hotel. And more fun than watching that show was looking at the people online who happen to agree with these stupid people who have the title internet sleuth
mm-hmm.
or YouTuber. Those people are the most laughable and ridiculous people on earth. They're like the Britney Spears Free Britney people. You know,
they caught that don't fuck with cats guy though.
That's the only one. That's the only one. And everybody else is nuts. But you know, I can see where they got the idea of the conspiracy maybe from the video and everything, but that show stretched it out. And then people are insulting the lady that works there. Hey, people need a job. She looks weird. What do you mean she looks weird? She's probably 50 or 45 years old.
Cecil Baskin's lady killed her.
Well, that's what pisses me off. She's just a lady that works at a creepy hotel. She's probably scared shitless every day she goes to work. Have you seen that?
I think she was just trying to, you know, be a voice for the hotel because it seemed like no one else from the hotel was going to give the time of day. So she actually sat down and answered those questions. I mean, pretty honestly, that was her job. She didn't have a choice.
Yeah. So go ahead.
I think if anything, if they have any point at all, it is weird. The only thing I could say is that how did she put the lid back on?
It probably fell on her when she got in it. You know, she probably lifted it up and had her hand up and then it fell on her.
So she got naked and threw her clothes into the water.
No, she took her clothes off when she was in the water to lighten her load.
Oh, okay. Do you think that's what happened?
She was making a pair of inflatables out of her pants. She would tie the legs off and blow them up.
Actually, she was sent by the Chinese communists to spread tuberculosis.
That was the dumbest.
And how about the dumb people? Well, we were brushing our teeth with it, with her blood.
It tasted terrible, but we kept doing it.
They're British.
True. True.
We brushed our teeth and took showers in this dead person's soup.
The one coincidence that is very weird, though, too, is that the parallels between that and that movie Dark Water.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty weird.
Yeah.
But she didn't go through another dimension to get into that.
That was the only really weird coincidence stuff that I picked out of that whole documentary.
There was one of those internet sleuths. Go ahead, Dustin. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, the only thing that I didn't really realize, I mean, I'd seen that video, you know, when it came out and was popular on, you know, on YouTube and stuff. But I didn't realize the location, the homeless state around the place. I mean, the state of the place of, you know, that it was. I mean, any tourist going into that, I mean, of course she's going to be extremely paranoid, looking out the doors, thinking someone was following her, which they probably were. You know, I mean, it's funny because you explain that first 45 minutes of the documentary and it completely explains her actions, or at least makes them perceive, you know, that I could perceive why she would act like that. So it doesn't really seem too odd to me.
And she's bipolar, know. And she's not really taking the level of meds that she's supposed to be taking.
She's Canadian.
It's always that.
It is a weird coincidence that the TB test or whatever is named after her. It's her exact name, just backwards.
I think there's just a lot of weird coincidences. Yeah.
All right. Well, moving on from the crazy people, and rest in peace to that poor girl. I mean, that's who I felt. I felt bad for her parents who were just staring at the TV cameras.
Yeah.
Like, we're not from here. We don't understand this bullshit in our country. You know,
Did any of you guys finish watching The Lady in the Dale on HBO?
I quit. I never watched it.
No, you should watch it. It's really interesting, and it's only 4 episodes. And it turns out the news guy that outed her as being a trans person was Tucker Carlson's dad.
Oh, really?
And he did that a lot. Like, he outed the tennis player that was trans.
What tennis player?
There was, in 1976, there was a doctor that was trans, and he tried to become a professional woman's tennis player.
Mm-hmm.
And Tucker Carlson's dad outed them also.
Huh. Well,
we've come that was like his thing.
Now, you know, anybody that's so interested in doing that kind of stuff is just jealous because he too wants to trans and he's too afraid. Maybe.
Well, you know, he never did win the decathlon. Hmm. So let's see. There's that. I watched Willy's Wonderland. Man, I enjoyed that movie. That was fun.
Oh, it was fun.
Uh-huh. I highly recommend it with Nicolas
Cage. Nick Cage movie?
Yeah, not one line of dialogue.
Didn't have to learn any lines for the entire script.
Right.
Did you see that guy that looked like W.O. Brown, though?
He sounded like him. He looked like him? Yeah. I don't know that actor. I've never seen him before, but I was like, this is a bad impression of Dan.
Yeah. We got to ask Earl about that guy if we ever have him on again.
Well, you should send him a message, see if he saw it, because the guy's clearly doing an impression of him. Started watching Pretend It's a City, which has been out for a while. But Caitlin and I started watching. Oh my God, I love that woman.
I do too.
I want her to make fun of me and criticize me and tell me everything I like sucks, because she could do it and I wouldn't be mad. She's just
so smart.
Yeah.
And sassy.
Yeah. And in that kind of New York that doesn't exist anymore. That's what I think of when I think of people like her, you know, she's a writer and stuff like that. I think she's very interesting, and I look forward to watching the rest of
that. If you'd like that, you'd like that How To with John Wilson show. It's very similar to that on HBO.
Probably will give that a shot. My step pick is Ty and That Guy podcast. Covers The Expanse. It goes in chronological order. They start off, it's Wes Chatham, who's Amos Burton, and Ty Frank, who's one half of James S.A. Corey, the authors of The Expanse. And I'm going to read the books. I'm hooked now. I want to listen to all these podcasts. But they start off talking about Alien and how it influenced them to create the story, and how both of those guys grew up loving the movie Alien and the grittiness of space and being on a mining ship instead of, you know, like flashy Star Wars type stuff. So that's it. That's my stuff.
Go.
I literally watched like one thing, like maybe two things. This puppy is kicking my ass, and I mean, he's literally kicking my ass. He's bitten me like 14 times. He's broke the skin. I don't even know how many times. He's a vicious puppy. He's vicious.
Even with the bone?
Oh yeah, even with the bone. Yeah, he takes these fits, and I don't know if it's just because he's from a trash pile out in the woods. He's just got this. I don't know what's going on with him. We might have to send him somewhere. I don't know.
Yeah.
He's kept up a lot of my time. So the only thing I really watched was that show, Hometown.
Hometown, what's that?
It's like they're like a younger version of Chip and Joanna.
Oh. And they're
only doing houses in their hometown of Laurel, Mississippi. So they take all of these old houses in their town, and if people will move there, you can buy them for like nothing, like $25,000, and then you throw whatever their budget is into them, and then they renovate them, and because they're trying to revitalize their town.
Where are you going to work if you move there?
I don't know. I guess you come there with money. I'm not really sure. I'm not sure if that was my one thing. Like, what is there to do in Laurel, Mississippi? But I don't know. These people are moving there, or they're buying the houses or whatever, but that's a cool show. And, but yeah, that's pretty much it. That's all I watched. And you know, The Price is Right. I've got a problem. I think I'm going to have to go to some kind of a rehab.
Three the other day for no reason. I just sat there and watched it, but I love him and his dark hair. I forgot that he had dark hair and how
before we let it go sore.
And all the contestants want to kiss him. I was watching one the other day where they couldn't get the safe to work, and he's like, "I'll get this thing to work. Help me!" And he had the guy help him.
I watched one of the Drew Carey ones the other day, and I swear to God, Drew Carey is stoned the entire episode. Yeah.
Wouldn't you be? You get to host a show like that and make millions of dollars to have fun and really not do an awful lot of work. And he lives in California. Get high. Do it.
But I swear the entire episode, he was just baked.
Yeah.
My staff pick is a podcast. It's called True Crime Daily. Yeah. And so if you like, you know, true crime stuff, every day there's a new story and it's about what is current. So it's not just about like, oh, this serial killer or this story from 2002 or blah, blah, blah. This is actual shit that's happening right now in the news. And they like dive into it and pick it apart and all this other stuff. So it's like more current. But anyway, it's called True Crime Daily. That's it.
Check that out. And speaking of true crime, we'll have an update on Syracuse Sam on the next episode of the show.
All right. Right on.
Let's see. I watched WandaVision. Won't spoil it. Well, also watched up to the fifth episode of The Head. Still got one more to finish it off. But I like the way it's turning out.
Big twist at the end.
Okay, yeah, it's got to be. I mean, you can see it coming. It's telegraphing real, real hard. But I'm really enjoying it.
So we can talk about it next week.
Also, finished The Stand.
Yeah, I did too. I was very disappointed.
Yeah, me too. I mean, are you going to watch it, Tim, or do you?
The Stand?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Are you going to watch it, Steph?
No, no.
Okay. Well,
hell no.
The ending of it, you know, they took out a section. They took out the entire Stu and Tom storyline at the end. He finds him in the ditch, and the next thing you see is them coming back into town on the night that they have a memorial about them.
Right.
After right. So many months, you know. So what are the, you know, it was just
what shit, you know, did they replace it with?
They replaced
this whole new coda that they wrote for the end.
All right. These people haven't seen it.
Yeah. I mean, as far as the end, they really didn't change the end of the story, but the coda, from the point of everything being back in Colorado to the end of the story for the, you know, the group, there's a new kind of, a new thing that happens that kind of explains, it kind of spoon feeds the meaning of the story to the audience, which I thought was a little heavy handed as far as they, you know, they reiterated that, you know, be true and stand a little too much.
And they blame
ending, but the ending was good. I mean, the ending was like the book. So, I mean, yeah. And I was, that was the one scene that I wanted to see, was that very last scene. And it was exactly how I imagined it. That was the best part that Flag did in the entire movie.
Yeah,
I mean, he was only Flag at that point, but so everything else was phoned in. But also, you know, I watched the Vanishing at the Cecil Hotel. It was okay. My staff pick is Finders Keepers. Now, this is a 2015 documentary on Hulu. And I don't know if you have you guys seen it?
Oh.
Okay. It's about a man who basically buys a lot of kind of like somebody's stuff, like you'd buy from a storage unit. Mm-hmm. And with it, he gets a grill, like a smoker. And in this smoker is a human leg. And
does he
come
eat
to
it?
Find out
the it's guy Army, that, it's Army Hammer storage
unit. Yeah, it's Army Hammer storage unit. But the guy who had the unit lost his leg in a plane crash, and also lost his father in that same crash. And so he was keeping the leg as a way, as long as he kept the leg, it kept his father's memory alive. That was his rationale. But the weird part comes with the guy that now owns the leg thinks that he's a celebrity and won't give it up. Oh, he won't give the guy's leg back because this is my 15 minutes of fame. There's people that know my name in California. I mean, it's like a mockumentary. You think it's not, there's no way it can be real, but it's really good. It's like absurd to the nth degree. But it's called Finders Keepers.
All right. On Hulu.
Isn't the leg just bones at this point, or is it mummified?
Does he it smoked it? So it's,
yeah. Tasty.
Yeah. Yeah, he smoked his own leg. That's why it was in the smoker.
It's great. Not rot, but surely it'd be rotting.
Oh, it's festered. Yeah, it's disgusting.
Oh, I mean,
and he's walking around on his titanium, you know, fake leg at this point. But it's a big lawsuit that's going on. It stretches over a couple of years. This whole town gets involved in it. Who do you root for? The leg guy or the? You know, it's just so surreal.
I'm on team leg.
But you guys would get a kick out of it, I'm sure.
All right.
I'm going to check that out. Let's see. I watched all that Cecil Hotel stuff. It was Wonderland. The Regina King SNL was hilarious. It was probably one of the funniest episodes literally in the last like 2 or 3 years. Every sketch made me laugh out loud.
They were cracking each other up too, yeah. Which I thought was funny. You don't see them doing that much anymore. But like the signs when they were pulling out the...
Yeah. The wine lady sign. Yeah,
the kitchen signs. Yeah, those are funny.
Those are hilarious. Let's see. I watched Barb and Star go to Vista Del Mar. That was not what I was expecting, but it was entertaining. That's that Kristen Wiig new movie that's out on video on demand. Listened to Dave Grohl on Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend. That was really good. I'm listening to Jodie Foster on What the Fuck. Currently,
is that good?
That one came out today. And my staff pick is going to be Keenan. His sitcom's finally hitting the air this week on NBC. Cool.
I like Keenan. I'm sure that'll be a good show.
Chris Redd and Don Johnson. I'm going to check it out. I imagine it'll be pretty funny.
Don Johnson from Miami Vice.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's his father-in-law, right?
Yeah. And it's supposed to be set here in Atlanta, where he's like an Atlanta news guy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'll check that out. I love Keenan, so I think.
Okay. Yeah, I do too.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody. Before we get to the dogs and wrap up, I want to apologize to Joel Murray for breaking the news about Carson Wentz. I forgot about that. So let's talk about the doggies.
Well, as I'm always promoting my rescue, BarkvilleDogRescue.org. If you are in the market for a new furry friend or if you'd like to help us, if you'd like to foster or donate, most of the dogs are not criminally insane like the puppy that I have.
Hey, he has problems.
Every once in a while, you get one that's a little psychotic, but I feel like he's going to be okay. I think a lot of his problems he's just itchy. So I slathered him in coconut oil tonight.
Maybe you need to hire Furio to pay him a visit.
You got the B on your hat.
He's living up to Tommy Frigginato. I mean, he's living up to the name. He's like the Pesci character.
You know, don't pitch to me. Sorry. Go ahead.
Exactly. Yeah.
These two suck each other's cocks.
So basically, you know, if you want to help us out, we'd love to have you as a foster. We'll take your money. We will, you know, anything you want. If you want to adopt a dog, BarkvilleDogRescue.org. Or if, you know, there's always GwinnettGelDogs.org too. Don't forget about them. If you can't find anybody from us, check them out.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much. And thanks again to Joel Murray. We will be back on Saturday with our weekend show. Hope everybody's enjoying the split. Certainly makes it easier to listen to, or you could, you know, combine both of them and listen at the same time. However the fuck you want to do it, doesn't matter. Just enjoy the show. Share it with your friends. Follow us on social media. All that stuff is down in the show notes. Thank you, Dustin. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Steph. Until later this week, Keep it tanning. Brian Smith. All right. So it's 2021, and now it's time to thank our Radio Labyrinth Patreon producers. Are you curious about being a Radio Labyrinth Patreon producer? All you have to do is go to patreon.com/Tim Andrews. When I set up the Patreon, we didn't know the name of the show yet. So that's why it's never been changed. But it is the Radio Labyrinth Patreon page. And we have several members that we'd like to thank tonight. These are our producers. The producers come in at the $25 tier or higher. And you are a producer of the show. And everybody who's joined at that level has received a gift or a t-shirt and or whatever we were giving away at the time. And some of you people have been with us for a very long time. Orchestrated it into some tiers with some, you know, cool radio, you know, because we call everybody that listens to the show a radio, right?
Right.
Yep. Right.
Yeah. So what I did is if you've been with the show 4 years or longer, you're a general manager. That means you can fuck off all day, wear a suit and hide in your office.
What if you're none of these are micro general managers. These are all cool people.
Yeah. Well, they're cool general managers. They leave you alone. And then if you've been with the show 2 to 3 years, you are a program director, which means you pick the music from a very small list that some consultant with a bunch of idiots in a hotel decided they like to listen to. And those are the songs you have to play.
Doesn't sound bitter at all.
I'm not bitter. That's just the reality of radio. And then if you're less than 2 years, up to 2 years, let's say up instead of less, up is a nicer word. You're a DJ spinning those hits. You don't spin anything. You push a button. In fact, you don't have to push anything. You just stare at it. Hey, the computer is playing another song. That's all you got to do if you're a DJ. In fact, DJs now are like, what, the marshmallow, and they play the noise. And you know, for the young people.
You got to spin it on the ones and the twos.
Yeah, the young kids. You don't have to, you don't take a record. You know, if it's a 33 and a third record, you turn it a half turn because. And if it's a 45 LP, you put the thing in the middle and you only go a quarter turn. But 45s were overplayed because they were the singles and then they would have Q-burn, which is why in the 70s and 80s, when you listen to the radio, and you're that's because Q-burn. There you go. You got a little lesson in radio. Without further ado, let's start with our general managers at 4 years or longer. We have Eric Malmstrom, who came on board in October of 2016.
Yay, Eric.
I mean, putting it in this perspective really shows you how dedicated and how awesome all of our listeners are. But wow. Also from October 2016, Keith Tate.
Keith Tate.
November 2016, Matt Carter.
Matt Carter, man. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All these guys, yeah. I just want to say Eric Malmstrom and Matt Carter, they always support my dog stuff. I'm just throwing that in there. So not only do they produce the show, and they just always are so supportive like that.
Yeah, they're everyone that listens, man, you guys that are interactive like this, you guys are the best. And we don't say it enough, so we're going to say it every week. And then Chad Shepard from October of 2017. Those are the OGs. Those are the GMs. You guys are the GMs.
And Chad Shepard gave you. Had a Redbox troll doll made for you for Christmas.
Oh, he did. Who has it?
The doll?
He has it. We didn't. No one. None of us. What?
I don't think he gave it to you. I think he showed it.
He showed it to me. I was hoping he was going to give it to me. He's like, no, it's mine.
He paid like $150
for a big high-tech item.
It's pretty fucking cool. That's all I can.
Yeah.
All right. So our program director is coming in at 2 to 3 years. We have the great Sean Hall, who was one of the last people I actually did something with outside of the house last year. We went to see the rugby game, which was really cool over in Cobb County. Arietta, we had a lot of fun. No one seemed to be, I was nervous because I'm a nervous Nelly, but right before all the shutdown started happening, Sean Hall and his family were there and we got to go, and Sean came with me, Mike TV's husband. So Sean Hall's been with us since April of 2018. Awesome guy. Thank you, Mike D. August 2018. Also a great guy. Thank you, John Sutherland, from a big fan of not only Radio Labyrinth, but also the Von Hessler Doctrine. Awesome guy. He came to see me do that show down in East Atlanta when I was baked and we just sat there and had a good time. He was awesome. I had a beer with him. He's been around since December of 2018. Also got me that really cool kiss thing that I did, with Trump. Anyway, so thank you. DJ Spit in the Hitch, up to 2 years. I'm going to do this. We got Tim Slayton coming in November 2019. Tim Slayton, thank you very much, Tim Slayton. We've got Chris Chandler, who dropped in December of 2020. Thank you very much, Chris Chandler. Todd Ellis joined. 1 year anniversary right now, celebrating his 1 year anniversary, Todd Ellis, January 2020. And then wrapping it up, there's Roby Neely, who came on board in November 2019. Had to take a break because of the COVID, the COVID economy. But now he's back and he's producing the show. So thank you very much, Roby Neely. You can do it without you.
Thank you, guys.
We do have two assistant producers I want to give honorable shout-outs to. And that'd be Emily Warren, who came on board in May 2018. And Buck Monterey. What a great name. You should be a disc jockey. Hey, Buck, you ever thought about being a disc jockey? And Buck Monterey coming at you. Buck Monterey spinning the hitch here from December of 2017. So that's everybody. Thank you, guys. That is everybody. Those are our producers.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, guys, so much.
Yes, and if you donate at any level, stick around because, we give you a crappy little thing where it scrolls by so fast you can't even get it. No one. But thank you guys very much, and please stick with us. We're going to keep making content for you and shows for you, and we got an interview coming up next week with Alan and Donna Stare from the WKRP Cast podcast. What's it called officially, Jeff? Yeah, WKRP Cast. Yeah, I should have not put the space in there. But anyway, we're going to have a good time talking to them. And hopefully we'll have our secret Forged in Fire guest on soon to talk about Forged in Fire. And if his, whatever he made, will kill.
Very cool.
And more importantly,
it will kill.